Welcome to New Creation Fellowship's Proclamation Podcast. The vision of New Creation Fellowship is to live out heaven's cultural values through creative, redemptive innovation, so that people from all nations may experience the glorious reality of new creation in Christ. Next time you're in the Orlando area, we'd love for you to join us for our Sunday morning liturgy. Just visit our website at newcreationorl.org for more information on NCF. And now, may you receive the proclamation of the Word of God as it truly is the Word of God.
Setting aside his alleged wickedness and scandal, the album Thriller is one of the greatest albums of all time. It's one of those albums, I don't know if you have it, maybe in your own genre, I'm a hip-hop head. You have these certain albums that are great. You have many songs in there that you want to listen to, and then you'll skip past some songs. And then there's amazing albums where you only have to skip one song, and then there are the timeless albums. Those albums that you can listen to straight through without ever skipping a song. Thriller is one of those albums. Do I need to mention any of the tracks of Thriller? Billie Jean, Beat It, Rock With Me. Rock With You? Is it Rock With You? Is it Rock With Me? See, y'all don't even know. Y'all supposed to teach me something. And then ultimately, Thriller, which he made into a short-length movie. Thriller was one of those albums that can be played back but never played out. In Genesis 26, what we are met with is an album. But this album is actually a repeat of another album. The life of Abraham. And God thought that the life of Abraham was so amazing that it should be played back but never played out. What we're going to see in Genesis 26 is literally a repeat of the life of Abraham. All of the themes that you're going to see in Genesis 26, we've already seen in the life of Abraham. So I am going to make this sermon short, sweet, and to the point. And hopefully what we will see is that this album is but an intro song to a far greater album to come. This album is a two-part album. I don't know if y'all remember the days of the two-disc albums. Where they had far more than 10 tracks on the album. 18 Johns on each CD. Well, this is actually a shorter album. And there's only two parts, yes, but each part, each CD only has about three tracks. The first track we can call The Promise. And this first track will take us all the way through verse 5. And in The Promise, there are three tracks. There are three tracks. And it begins with this track called Calamity. Verse 1. Now there was a famine in the land besides the former famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Gerar to Abimelech, king of the Philistines. This track called Calamity is a mirror image of the calamity that met Abraham. This was something that they had already experienced, a famine in the land. And I don't know if you remember when we preached through this, that God will use both us and it to bring us to our recognition of our need for him. We don't know what the it is in our lives, but at some point in time, we will meet inevitable calamity. In this particular situation, the calamity was a famine. But you might meet the calamity of a loss of a job or a loss of a loved one or even COVID itself. We've all experienced unexpected calamity, and yet calamity should not be unexpected, for Jesus said in this life there will be troubles. So the question is not, is calamity coming? The question is, how will you respond to the calamity when it comes?
Come on, Doc. That's good.
Repeat track, calamity, a famine. But don't you know that this track is but an intro to a far greater album? That yes, there was a famine in the land, but that famine was only to bring our eyes upon the one who would feed us. The one who is called the bread of heaven, who would feed us who are hungry, who would give us water to those of us who are thirsty. This bread and this water would always take care of our every need to satisfy us no matter what famine we face in life. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this gospel will be played back. Second track after the calamity is the calling. I want you to notice verse 2. And the Lord appeared to Abram, to Isaac, and said, do not go down to Egypt. Dwell in the land of which I shall tell you. Once again, if you rewind the track back all the way to Genesis 12, you will see almost the exact same words given to Isaac that were given to Abraham. Yeah. Go to the land that I will tell you. Yeah. And we talked about from that place that oftentimes when God calls you from is dramatically more clear than what God is calling you to.
Right. Yeah.
You don't know what's coming most of the time, which is what makes it hard to sacrifice what you already know about.
Right.
Well, what Abraham had to sacrifice, Isaac has to sacrifice the same thing. And yet this time God makes switch. Remember, yes, this is a repeat album, but it's a tribute album. There's some changes, some differences. And one of the differences is that God makes explicit what he once made implicit. The first time he said, I want you to go to the land that I'll tell you, Abraham got scared and decided to go to Egypt. This time, God didn't let that be. This time he makes it clear and do not go down to Egypt. What was once implicit is now made explicit. And to be honest, we don't like that.
Come on.
Have you noticed that the sinfulness of humanity can be seen in this reality when it comes to God specifically? When we don't have certainty, we want clarity. But when we have clarity, we want to make it uncertain. You're trying to figure out what job do I take or where do I move? There's some things that are uncertain. And so you want clarity from God. You want clarity from God. Now, you know, the Lord has said, leave this place. You just don't know where yet. So you won't pack your bags until you get an answer. But then on the flip end, when God says some stuff clear, like, I don't know, do not commit adultery. We'd be like, now, what you mean by that? How far can I go? What constitutes adultery in your mind? I need clarity.
Come on, Doc.
When things are uncertain, we want clarity. But when things are clear, we want it to be uncertain. This is the natural human heart. And for every single person in this room, if you've been called according to the purpose of Christ, you will find moments in your life where God is saying to you, stop looking at what is uncertain, obey what is clear.
Wow, come on.
The call. That's the second track. And I don't know if you noticed this, but that when the text says, And just notice the language of it says, do not go down to Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell you. Do not go to Egypt, dwell in the land I shall tell you. Do not go to Egypt. Here's the word, dwell in the land that I shall tell you. The reason why this is so important is because God's presence was tied to particular lands. So in this space, it's the whole land. And then he'll go get more specific and he'll want it to be specifically Jerusalem. And he'll get more specific and he'll build the temple. And so God is always tying his presence to a particular place.
Wow. Come on, Doc.
But how many know the good news of the gospel? That's going to be played back, but never played out. That because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, there is no longer a tie of God's presence to a place. Amen. The presence is now tied to a person. I don't know if y'all know Quincy Jones, but he one of them producers who he likes a little bit more control than some other producers. And so in this space, God wants a little bit more control. He's like, I'm not going to leave it up to you to make your decisions this time like Abraham did. No, this time I'm going to take control because as the producer, I want it to sound a certain way. Wow. I don't need all of those runs to Egypt this time. I need you to sing the song direct. And when he sent the Lord Jesus Christ onto this earth, the Lord Jesus Christ flipped the script by singing the song direct. Because when Jesus came, he did not demand that we dwell where he is, but rather he came and here's the word, skeneo, dwelled among us.
Yeah.
So no longer do we have to go to a place.
Yeah.
We simply need to turn to a person.
Amen.
The calling. The calling. But the final track in this first CD is a heavy track called The Covenant.
Yeah.
You had the calamity. You had the call. This third track is The Covenant. And I want you to read this slowly. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you, and I will bless you. For to you and to your offspring I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath, the promise that I swore to Abraham, your father. I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and will give to your offspring all these lands. And in your offspring, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws.
Yeah.
The final track in this CD, this first part of the CD called Promise, is this track called Covenant. And I want you to notice that the covenant is but a repeat once again of what we already saw in Genesis chapter 12. That I will make of you a great nation. I will give you a great name and I will make you a conduit of great blessing. He repeats the exact same promise that he gave to Abraham in chapter 12. There's a difference because remember, this is a tribute album. And the difference is in the fact that the promise comes with a reason. The reason that I am going to fulfill what I said to Abraham is because of Abraham's faithfulness to my covenant. In other words, Isaac, you are a recipient of another man's faithfulness.
Wow.
Wow.
I don't know if you understand that this is but an intro to a far greater album. Where we too are recipients of another man's faithfulness. A man who lived a perfect life. Never disobeyed either in his heart or in his actions. Never had lust in his heart or in his actions. And he fulfilled all the statutes, the ordinances, the commands of God. Yet he was placed on a cross. Died, was buried, risen again on the third day, ascended into heaven to complete his act of faithfulness and to ultimately fulfill the covenant.
Amen. Amen.
CD one is done. Please insert the next disc. Now, after the promise disc, we have a response disc. And the response disc is always the disc we don't like, huh? Because we get real hype about the promise. But then when it comes to how we respond to the promise, how we react to what God has done, how we, listen to me, obey the gospel, which don't even sound right to our American evangelical ears. Because the gospel is about his obedience, not mine. But Peter, not me, says we must respond to the gospel, but not just respond, we must obey it.
Yeah.
That's right. Oh, that's right.
And we don't really like this too, because we don't like a gospel we have to obey.
Come on, Doc.
But this is not what the Bible leaves us with. We have this too, and it's the response. And for this, I really want to seriously, genuinely encourage you as a pastor to go back to and listen to some tracks that we laid here in New Creation Fellowship. Because if you go back and listen to some tracks laid here in New Creation Fellowship, you will get better understanding of all that I'm going to say right here. Because once again, this is a repeat album. It's a tribute of a son to a father.
Wow.
The first track is a track that is simply called From Faith to Fear.
Yeah, yeah.
And we have a track called From Faith to Fear, preached by yours truly on Genesis chapter 12.
Yeah.
Go back and listen to that, because everything I'm going to say here is exactly what was said there, but in more detail. Verse 6. So Isaac settled in Gerar. When the men of the place asked him about his wife, he said, "She is my sister." Sound familiar? For he, from faith to fear, feared to say, "My wife," thinking lest the men of the place should kill me because of Rebecca, because she was, sound familiar, attractive in appearance. When he had been there a long time, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out of the window and saw Isaac. Remember what Isaac's name is? Laughing. Remember, Isaac's name means laughter. So he saw laughter laughing in an intimate kind of way. Almost, if we could translate it, flirting with his wife. Can I just say, as a side note, married dudes,
yeah,
keep flirting with your wife, though.
Right.
Like, somebody should be able to tell, yo, that's your wife, not just your homie.
Right.
Amen.
By the way that you flirt with her.
Amen.
Yeah.
And they shouldn't be confused on who your wife is by the way you laugh with her.
Yeah.
Right.
That was just a side note.
Amen. I heard that.
Back to the text. Behold, she is your wife, verse 9 says. How then could you say she is my sister? Isaac said to him, because I thought, notice the text, lest I die because of her. Let the husband die instead of the wife. What is this you have done? Abimelech said, what is this you have done to us? One of the people might easily have lain with your wife, and you would have brought, and you would have brought guilt upon us. So Abimelech warned all the people, saying, whoever touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. Now, if that is the consequences for touching Isaac's wife, what do you think the consequences are for touching Esau's wife, Jesus, Yeshua? If you have to be put to death for touching this regular dude's wife, what do you think is going to happen to those who persecute the church? See, this whole passage here is about a husband who is unwilling to die for his bride.
Wow.
A journey from faith to fear. But the gospel, hallelujah, it's not about a husband who was unwilling to die for his bride. It was about a husband who was more than willing to die for his bride.
Amen.
And he was obedient to the point of death, even death on a rugged, gory cross.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you,
Lord. Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
This journey from faith to fear is but an intro to a greater album about one who overcame fear with faithfulness.
Amen.
Track two. Verse 12, and this is one of those tracks that, like, you could almost split the song into two. Remember, Thriller was a long form song. So it's almost like you could split this song into two. But if I can entitle this track anything, I would entitle it Lay Down to Move Up. And in the first part of the track, he lays down a seed to move up in fruitfulness. Verse 12. And Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. Yahweh blessed him. The man became rich and gained more and more until he became very wealthy. He had possessions of flocks and herds and many servants, so that the Philistines envied him. Now the Philistines had stopped and filled the earth with all the wells that his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham his father. And Abimelech said to Isaac, listen to the text, go away from us, for you are much mightier than we. I want to say something real quick. In these two tracks, what you see are the generational impact of a father upon a son. In the first track, From Fear to Faith, you see a generational curse. But here you see a generational blessing. And I want you to understand that both are always at play in the life of a human. This is what makes living the human life so weighty, y'all. I don't know if you're a dude here and you had a father who was less than perfect. Hope all of us are in that number. And there are some specific things about your dad, I am included, that you hated about him. And you couldn't stand that when you saw him do it, it made you want to lay hands on him. Made you want to hurt him. Made you want to fight your own father because of some of the things that your dad did. Maybe he was an abandoning father. Maybe he was an abusive father. Maybe he was an adulterating father. But whatever that issue is, maybe there's some dudes here who hated something about your dad. And then you became an adult. And the same stuff you hated about your dad, you start to see lived out in your own life. I see this over and over again. Dudes who are frustrated with their deadbeat dad, who was never around at any of their basketball games, then become parents before they expected it. And then they're no longer around for their kids' basketball games. And even worse, they're not around for their birthdays. Because here's the way generational curses work if they're not broken. What was done in the last generation doesn't get improved upon. It actually gets worse.
Yeah.
It gets super complicated whenever I'm doing premarital counseling. Because one of the aspects of my premarital counseling that I'll usually do is this subject matter called Going Back to Go Forward. Not my words, but it was given by Pete Scazzaro in his book, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality.
Yeah.
He has this wonderful quote. He says, while Jesus is in your blood, grandma's still in your bones.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And so there's things about your family of origin that are still working themselves out in you, good and bad. And what we see in the life of Isaac, and we're going to see in the life of Jacob, is that this generational curse of lying,
yeah,
of deception,
right,
of telling falsehoods will continue on from generation to generation. Can I ask you a hard question?
Yeah.
And you know what's dope? We didn't have to come up with a sermonic topic called generational curses. We're just reading through the Bible. Can I ask you a hard question, though? Do you even know what the curses of your generation are?
Yeah.
Are you aware enough of what went on with your father and your grandfather in order to be able to understand what Christ has to overcome in you? My sister, are you aware of what your moms or your grandmas had to go through? Their sin, their suffering. Do you know what you will ultimately have to overcome through Christ? It is so important for us to be aware. And that's why I believe God gave us this text. Why repeat the same thing? He's repeating the same thing to tell you that the same thing throughout generations gets repeated. And this is without us trying to make that happen. It is our, thank you, Michael Jackson, human nature. Can I just say something to you? If it is your nature to give in to some of the things that your father gave himself over to that you hated, can I tell you what the solution is not? Please hear me on this. This never works, dudes. I don't know why I feel this from the brothers. This never works. This never works. This never works. It is never the solution to hate what your dad did so much that you'll never be like him. Because hatred isn't powerful enough to overcome a curse. The only way to break the patterns, the sinful patterns, the curse, is in order to turn to the one who already broke it.
Amen.
And Galatians tells us that we have that one who for our sake became a curse on the tree so that we might experience a blessing. So that no matter what curse we are experiencing, we might be able to experience a brand new blessing through the blesser himself. My fellas, stop with this. I ain't gonna be like him. Begin today with this. I want to be like him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
That's track two, part one. But now look at verse 17. This is track two, part two. And the earlier one was that he laid down his seed so he might move up in fruitfulness. But this track is that he laid down his rights so that he may move on in faithfulness. Verse 17, notice the text. So Isaac departed from there and encamped in the valley of Gerar and settled there. And Isaac dug again. Say again.
Again.
Say again.
Again.
Say again.
Again.
Sounds like a playback, don't it? The wells of water that had been dug in the days of Abraham, his father, which the Philistines had stopped after the death of Abraham. Repeat, repeat, repeat. And he gave them the names that his father had given them. But when Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found there a wells of spring water, the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, "The water is ours." Now you got to go back. You got to go back. You got to go back. You got to go back and listen to the message laid down to move up. And you will see something about these kinds of quarrels. The water is ours. So he called the name of the well Esek. Say Esek.
Esek.
All right. And that word means contention, because they contended with him. Then they dug another well and they quarreled over that one also. So he called its name Sitna. Say Sitna.
Sitna.
And Sitna means hostility or enmity. There's an increase in beef. But then third well. And he moved on from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it. So he called its name Rehoboth, saying, "For now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." Now, I want to say something very beautiful about this particular passage. Number one, these wells that he dug are not originals. They're tribute wells. He's taking the songs of his father and he's replaying them. But in each well, I need you to hear me on this. Hear me on this. In each well that Abraham rightly owned, Isaac now has to contend for what is already his by inheritance.
Jesus. Wow. Yeah. Jesus.
The reason why he has to contend for what he already owns by inheritance is because of this beef that exists there. This beef that exists, why? Because of their envy. They were jealous of Isaac, jealous of Abraham, so they wanted to thwart the purposes of God within them. He got expelled because he got exalted.
Wow.
And I don't know if anybody here has experienced being expelled because you were exalted. I know what this feels like. Where somebody is just jealous, and no matter how much you honor them, no matter how much you care for them, your honor is never enough. They want you expelled. Why? Because God has exalted you. And can I say this on a deeper level? Even though you might have experienced someone expelling you because God has exalted you, In our sinful nature, we've also been the ones who have done the expelling of others. We don't like that part. We don't want to be honest about that part. But we've had a slight envy of somebody we work with because they got promoted a little too quick. I've been there. I've been there longer than her. I've been there longer than him. And I've been killing it in my job. They put forth lackluster effort. But because they know somebody, they get to skip past the process. And your envy causes you to start slandering them. It's never loud at first. It's just subtle. What you think about Sarah? You know, just a question. But the way you say it, if they say, I love her, she's awesome, it's going to make for an awkward conversation. They know that what you're expecting is more slander.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you start a gossip echo chamber. And the gossip echo chamber begins to influence other people around the workplace. And now Sarah's reputation has been tainted through a believer's word. Friends, listen to me. When you have envy of humanity, it's actually just judgment of deity.
Wow. Come on, Doc.
Because look, they didn't give themselves the promotion. There's nothing that can happen in this world outside of the purview of God. So whatever they have has been given by God. So if you're mad for what they have, you're not mad at them, you're mad at him. And we don't like that. So what we want the preacher to preach is that no. You haven't done it to anybody. They did it to you. Your haters were looking at how God was exalting you. Your haters were looking at how amazing your work was. Your haters were looking at how you had favor in high places. And after all of that favor that you experienced, your haters wanted to hate to the point where they expelled you because you were exalted. Wow. And then they post that joint on TikTok. And then the joint goes viral.
It does.
Right.
It really does.
Because everybody got a hater, but nobody ever hates. Don't assume you Isaac.
That's right. Yeah.
Maybe you the Philistines.
Right.
Envious of someone else.
Yeah.
I'm just getting used to it now. This is going to be a church, but we just don't get to shout as loud until the end. Because real rap, can I be honest with y'all? As a preacher, I want to give y'all the good stuff. To make y'all, come on, my sister. Yeah. Come on, my sister. Stuff to make you feel good about yourself. But my Bible says that the word of God convicts.
Yeah, that's right.
Pierces.
Yeah.
You are not always Isaac.
Right.
You are not always Abraham. Sometimes you're the Philistines. You ain't David. Sometimes you Goliath. And when you realize who you are, you were the one at enmity. Sound familiar, Romans?
Yeah.
Sitting up with God. You were the one in contention. Sound familiar? Isaac with God. But while you were in Isaac with God, and while you were sitting up with God, God sent Christ to die for the ungodly.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And he did not just die for the ungodly. On the third day, he rose from the dead, ascended into heaven. Why? So that he can prepare room for us.
Wow. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
He laid down so that we might move up. Track two. This too. But now we get to track three. And this track, I will not get clever with, is called Peacemakers, because a track was laid down by our very own Pastor Ike on Genesis chapter 21 that was entitled Peacemakers. And the same thing Pastor Ike preached on there is exactly what we will see here. Because remember, this is a repeat album, a tribute of a son to a father. From there, he went to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, your father. Fear not, for I am with you and will bless you and will multiply your offspring for my servant Abraham's sake. So he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants dug a well. He repeats the promise, doesn't he? And once again, we have to understand that the promise is given because of the faithfulness of another. Please do not forget that. He gives this promise. And notice the promise once again. It's a promise of proximity, prosperity, and posterity. All because his father, not him. His father, not him. All because his father made God his priority.
Wow.
Do you not know that we've been given a promise of proximity, Emmanuel, prosperity, an inheritance that will never fade or fall or diminish, and posterity, that I saw a number which no man can number of all nations, tribes, and tongues standing around the throne of God proclaiming salvation belongs to our God. But it is not because of any one of us. It is because another made God his priority.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
But listen to the final part of this track called Peacemakers. This is after he was expelled because he was exalted. After they created beef over what he owned, not them. After they had no rights to take any well, and yet he laid down his rights and had to go find one. After all of that, when Abimelech went to him from Gerar with Ahuzith, his advisor, and Phicol, the commander of his army, Isaac said to them, what's good? It's me, it's my verse. Yo, I just feel it so much in my soul. You know the Bible, like, you know you really know the Bible when you're able to put it in your own terms, like you see what's happening. This is crazy. Why have you come to see me, seeing that you hate me and have sent me away from you? I can't use it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Computer. Sometimes I be getting, not this one. Yo, I was really in sin before I met Jesus. So like a lot of my illustrations are like inappropriated, as my kids say. So yeah, no, not that, John. Okay, this one works. Back then they didn't want me. There we go. There we go. Thank you, Lord. See? When I practice self-control, he provides. Maturity. They said, notice, we see plainly that the Lord has been with you. So we said, let there be a sworn pact between us. Where was all the pact making before?
Right.
Between you and us, and let us make a covenant with you. Where was all this before?
Right.
If you can't beat them, join them, huh? Because now all of a sudden, you sent me off, you dismissed me, you expelled me.
Right.
Now all of a sudden, you're traveling to me. And you want to talk about covenants and pacts. Are we friends, though, right?
Now we talking.
You ever seen that happen in like real life?
Yeah.
Somebody get a promotion and you mad because you was mean to them? So y'all like, y'all wanted me to flip it, didn't y'all? You get the promotion and they mad. There you go. Shout, new creation.
Wow.
Now, but somebody get exalted.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, you want to remind them of the few moments y'all had lunch together.
Yeah.
And what the movie say, I don't know you. I don't know you. Yo, ain't this so clearly what Jesus said is going to happen on Judgment Day? Make a pact with us now. Make a covenant with us now. But Jesus is going to be like, where was all that energy? While you had time? Where was all of that? Because real rap, we don't deserve it now.
Right.
But while we're still breathing, God is being patient with us to make the pact today while we still can.
Amen.
Notice the humility that even that takes. The text says, you are now blessed of the Lord. You are now blessed of the Lord. You are now blessed of the Lord. I was blessed of the Lord before you could see it. Jesus is Yahweh before it was revealed.
That's right.
Before we see him in his glory when he returns. Before every eye will behold his glory. Before it will be clear on that day that he is Yahweh in the flesh. Before all of that, he was Emmanuel, God with us. He was the Word become flesh. And yet he came to his own and we did not know him. I'm not blessed now that I'm on my return. Jesus has been blessed. The question is, would you recognize it now while you still have an opportunity?
Amen.
It's almost like you think you're doing him a favor by saying you blessed the Lord. He know who he is. You think you're doing Jesus a favor by saying he is Lord? He knows who he is. So just saying stuff don't mean anything. Because as we learned last Sunday, you don't only lie with your lips, you can also lie with your life. Does your life live in such a way? Is it shown in such a way? Is it characterized by he is Lord? We really think we're doing Jesus a favor, don't we? Guess what? At the end of the day, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. You're going to have to say it regardless.
Right, that's right.
You might as well be willing.
Do it now.
Amen.
Do it now. I ain't even want to sit there, but that's for somebody. Do it now.
Amen.
Stop playing games. Stop waiting. Today is the day of the pact. Today is the day of the covenant. Today is the day of salvation. Do it now. Notice the text. Humility. So he, Isaac, made them a feast. What? They expelled the dude, kicked him out, don't want nothing to do with him, and now all of a sudden he's being shown to be blessed. Hey, you know, about that argument we had. You know, we really loved you the whole time, for real, for real. That was my man, that wasn't even me, I ain't say that. And all of a sudden, they want to come around because they see that they got benefits now. And the humility of Isaac. So he made them a feast and they ate and they drank. Oh my Lord. In the morning they rose early and exchanged oaths, promises, covenants. And Isaac sent them on their way and they departed from him in shalom, in peace, in perfect unity. What?
Wow.
How in a... Y'all. That same day Isaac's servants came and told him about the well that they had dug and said to him, we have found water. He called it Sheba. Therefore, the name of the city is Beersheba to this day. The well of the oath, the well of the sevens, or the well of the promise.
Jesus. That's right.
In response, hear me, to man's corruption, Isaac makes peace.
Wow.
Do you hear me on this? And he doesn't just make peace, shalom, perfect unity, but he lives it out through a feast.
That's right.
I don't know if you know about a feast of shalom, a feast of peace, a feast of perfect unity. But the Lord Jesus Christ did the same thing for you. You were out here wilding, beefing with him, acting like you didn't know him. That's your grandma's faith. That's your mom's faith.
Wow, come on, Doc.
That ain't for me.
Come on.
I'm out here doing me. And yet God was patient with you.
Thank you, Jesus.
And through his kindness, moved you into a pact, a covenant, a promise. And you finally realized that there were benefits for you. And you surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus. And the day you did, there was no more beef. Yeah. There was no more contention, Esek. Yeah. Wow. There was no more sitting up. There was only peace, shalom, perfect unity through the feast of his body and his blood poured out on the cross.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
Because all of Genesis 26 is but an introduction to a far greater album. A repeat album. A tribute of a son to a father. I don't know if y'all ever have heard Thriller. There's different songs on Thriller. You know how an intro works? An intro works, it grabs your attention. You start getting hyped before the song even really gets started. Y'all already know. Bow. All of y'all in y'all flesh. All of y'all. All of y'all. Because you know.
Yeah.
As soon as you hear that, it's over. The song ain't been fulfilled yet, but the intro lets you know it's coming. All of Genesis is but a song, and it ain't been fulfilled yet, but the intro lets you know that it's coming. For our God created the heavens and the earth.
Yes.
Yeah.
And everything was perfect and good. And yet here comes this smooth criminal.
Ooh. Come on.
And he corrupts human nature.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
And makes everything bad.
Yeah.
And as Pastor Mee said, if it was up to me, it'd be over by Genesis 3. But God.
Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Y'all didn't hear me, saints? But God.
Hallelujah.
But God. Unwilling to allow everything to just remain bad, he decided to heal the world. But in order to do so, listen to me. He tried with Adam, didn't work. Tried even with Seth, didn't work. Try with Abraham, didn't work. Isaac, nah. Yeah. Jacob, nah.
Yeah.
David, nope. Yeah. Isaiah, Jeremiah, none of these cats.
Yeah.
So he decided to look at the man in the mirror. The reflection and the radiance of the glory of God. The exact imprint of his nature. Jesus, the second Adam, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. He had decided to look at the man in the mirror, not because he needed to change his ways, but because he needed to change ours.
That's right.
And he lived perfectly before all of humanity, healing the sick, feeding the hungry. He was faithful. He redug the well. And yet, they just wouldn't leave him alone.
My.
And yet, thank you, Jesus. He was never out of control.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
This was all God's promise of perfection.
Yeah.
For on that hill called Calvary.
Yeah.
There was coming a thriller.
Yeah.
Where this one who was born of a virgin, who they actually thought was a Billie Jean, would have to go to a rugged, bloody, long-suffering cross. See your Savior there on that hill. Do you see the gore of this scene? It is a thriller. Do you see the pain on his face? The mockery, the spitting. Some theologians and historians said that his flogging was far more than 40 lashes, that they might have whipped the body of Jesus over 200 times. Oof. And he sits there and takes all of it for you. Do you see your Savior on the cross? This is for our sitna, our esek, our contention, our hostility, our enmity with him. And yet he endured it all on the cross, where these evil villains of Satan, sin, and death torment him. And yet he takes the penalty and he dies, bowing his head, saying, "Tetelestai, it is finished. Father, I paid my tribute. Into your hands I commit my spirit." And sin, Satan, and death, these wicked villains, started throwing a party because they believed now we have humanity in a zombie state. And all day Friday they were throwing that party. And all day Saturday they were throwing that party. But on the third day,
hallelujah,
early Sunday morning,
hallelujah,
the Lord Jesus, my Lord Jesus, our Lord Jesus, rose from the dead victoriously and told Satan, sin, and death, beat it. Told the stone, "I want to rock with you." And he ascended into heaven. And yet before he ascended, he gave a mission. Go into all the earth.
Yes.
And make disciples of all nations.
Yeah.
No matter if they black or white.
Yeah.
Until I return.
Yeah, that's right.
Grab hold of my church.
Yeah.
And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.
Yes.
Friends, Jesus Christ is returning to make all things new. That is the album. That is the album. And that album will every single Sunday here be played back, but it will never be played out.
Amen.
Thank you, God, Jesus.